This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. Cambridge engineer Dr. Chua Hui Yan started Science Bridge Academy to put the fun and love into science for primary and secondary school children, which is an extension from Genset Technologies based in Singapore. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's good to speak to you again, Dr. Chua.
Thank you so much, Frida. It's really nice to be here again.
Well, I know we spoke to you in 2014, we spoke to you in 2015. Now, having started in 2014, right? 7 years now. What have been some of your milestones?
Yes, well, we have actually gone through a lot of things since we last spoke a few years back. So back then, we were a fledgling science company, you know, just started up, albeit with the intention to teach science differently. Now we have transitioned into a full-fledged STEM education company. So what do I mean by STEM? For the listeners out there who are not yet aware, STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So it's a multidisciplinary approach towards problem solving, which is much what it's needed in, you know, today's world, the 21st century. So we have started offering a lot more things. And now I would say we have a full suite of services for customers who are interested, you know, with anything related to STEM. Besides running programs, our usual STEM programs, we also have done lots of events. So we've run a nationwide challenge back in 2019, before this whole COVID pandemic. We worked with the IET, Institution of Engineering Technology in Malaysia. We've run, we've hosted residential camps for students from overseas. We have, participated in youth festivals. And we also do consultancy services, you know, if it's related to STEM. For example, we were it was 2 years back already, we were actually in a reality TV show that was related to a Young Engineer Challenge. So that was quite interesting, something very different. And we do teacher training. That's very, very important, particularly now because everything's gone online. So how do you teach science or even, you know, any other subject related to STEM? How do you teach it more effectively online? So we do that as well. And of course, not to leave out a range of products which we have developed over the past few years. We supply kits to some of our bigger educational institutions. And we're looking to expand our range of online programs.
Right. I think you've been to more remote places in Sarawak than I have, and I'm from there. but, you know, I think, like, what is good is that you're trying to put the fun in science, right? And, you know, so I know you cater to kids from 5 to 15, right? Have you seen, some of the kids growing with you? And so, and the older kids, have they gone on to pursue science? Perhaps have gone to tertiary or whatever.
Yeah, we haven't had so many go out yet because they start when they're very young with us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, certainly some of them they have been with us for a while, and the ones who are older. So recently, I just found out from a customer that her daughter who took the SPM probably 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Decided to take up a degree in pure physics because she was really, really interested in what she was learning with us. You know, and so I felt very encouraged by that because when she first came in, she was extremely quiet and, you know, she sort of like didn't really, it was, you know, one of those tida appa kind of like, right. Doesn't matter what I learn, you know, I'm just doing this to, I'm just doing this because I don't have a choice kind of thing. Yeah. Of course, I always remember another customer who said that her son was really, you know, he got his motivation and drive after sort of being with us for a while, and he did pretty well in his UPSR exams.
Right.
From there, I think he kickstarted. He became like a sort of A student just because of that particular turning point in his life, you know, where he got good results for his science kind of
thing. Right. So for you, was it growing up having fun with science, or did you go through the usual, you know, the Asian way of education? How was science fun for you?
Oh, science wasn't actually very fun for me, you know, Freda. It was quite ironic, actually. But I think that is also probably why I felt it was, you know, something that I had to do, because science can be fun.
Right.
And unfortunately, even though I didn't really experience that, but there's no reason why other people shouldn't. You know, it's only after I got to university and I realized that there is so much that we missed out on because of the way our education system is.
Right.
Yeah, how it's, you know, it's structured. And also, actually, of course, it's the way the teachers teach, really. I mean, I had some good teachers, of course, but it was very academic.
Right.
And I think the way the world's progressing now, you know, you just can't stick to the same thing that we were doing 20, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago.
So do you find that with where you guys are, do you see a good mix of boys and girls?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think in some cases we see more girls as well. And yeah, and I think this keeps coming back to the question, you know, why is it that girls seem to do so much better while they're at the primary and secondary level, and then after that sort of, yeah, kind of hit some sort of glass ceiling, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, especially in competitions. I think we tend to see more female participation.
Right. Okay. So I know that also you offer, you teach a variety of classes from forensic science, food science, environmental sciences, and perfume making. Right. So what do the kids go through roughly in all these different classes?
Okay. Let me see if I can break this down better. We actually, so since we started, we have now progressed into a STEM company, right? So STEM means it's integrating science with technology, and it's supported by engineering and math, right? So it's interdisciplinary. It's not just science, because the real world as we know it is. So we actually offer regular classes now, like once a week, you know, your usual enrichment kind of class. So there's kids who, want to follow science and they want to do it regularly. We have that. So that's from ages 5, up to 14, 15. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes it's a bit academic, unfortunately, but you know, we have to go to the way the market demands.
Right.
Then we have fun stuff like workshops, which are, you know, normally things that we do on the holidays. And that actually is not just what you mentioned. I mean, there's a lot of other topics that we cover. Recently, because it's all virtual right now, so we have done a lot more in coding, programming. Yeah, so our recent holiday camp, we had stuff on Vex Robotics. We did AR, VR programming for kids. Yeah, we did a lot of coding type, Scratch and this kind of stuff. Right. Science we still do. So what we do is, it's again a wide variety of topics in science. Yeah. So anything, as you mentioned just now, those topics plus.
Okay, plus, a lot more. Huh?
A lot more.
Do you find that girls tend to veer in a certain direction and boys tend to veer in a certain direction? Or do you find that if you just expose children to anything, that they'll absorb anything?
Yeah, interesting question. I was also trying to see whether there was some sort of natural bias towards certain subjects. I think somehow as a whole, right, even though girls boys, I mean, they do kind of course, when whatever you teach them, they're fine. But I think if they had to choose naturally, somehow boys are still more towards the technical, like they like engineering.
Right.
And girls, they still like the creative sides of things.
Right.
So okay. It's quite strange, but I don't know.
I guess this is an opportunity to for them to be exposed and, you know, yes, I guess, yeah, you know, and then that their natural interest flow, right?
Yeah.
I just want to also find out a little bit about, you know, how you've been working with private international schools and, of course, the exercise with Pitch-In. And just a moment, I'm here with Dr. Chuang Hui Yen from Science Bridge Academy. Stay tuned to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. I'm here with Dr. Chuang Hui Yen from the Science Bridge Academy. We first spoke to her in 2014. And of course, you know, what they're trying to do is put the fun and love into science for primary and secondary school children. I know that with what you're trying to do, that you also work with private international schools, right? Now, how have you been doing this with this wonderful pandemic that we've got?
Yeah, struggling, Frida. Yeah, it's not been a walk in the park for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we had to quickly adapt to online teaching, you know, and I think my trainers, my team has been doing a pretty good job, you know, rose to the occasion. But yeah, I mean, certainly the experience is less than satisfactory. But, you know, we make do with what we can. So, yeah, working with international private international schools, yes, I mean, we've been doing that ever since we started. And it hasn't really changed, really. It's just that during this pandemic, of course, we saw that a lot of them were also struggling because I think you know, you're aware of all the issues about online classes versus fees in, particular. So I think they had a lot of problems on their plate. And so that has affected our activities with them somewhat, because whatever we used to do, extracurricular activities or, you know, workshops and things like that, it's not a priority now. Yeah. So but the relationships are still there, you know, and of course, I am still working closely with a particular client school, you know, and they are very keen to see how they can continue to produce or bring value to their students.
Right. And I think one of the especially like what you're trying to do, right, is so hands-on, right, and trying to convert that virtually where they're still hands-on from home, but there's nothing like that, you know, physical interaction, right? So that's the challenge. But I guess we all have to go virtual for now anyway.
Yes, yes.
Right. So you've also developed educational kits, right? Tell me about these kits and you know, has that been, I guess, more useful, especially now, you know, they can do it at home?
Yes, we did actually. So we developed these kits in 2016. But we were targeting these at public schools because our focus was to help schools that didn't have the infrastructure or the equipment to run experiments. And so these kits, you know, which are affordable, that we developed them for classes, you know. So they have picked up, sales has picked up a bit recently, but because because we customized it for classes and for teachers and targeted them somehow, it tied them in with this national syllabus. So it's been, you know, a bit, yeah, with the pandemic, it's been a bit tough still because of, again, school activities being, sort of more or less non-existent.
Right. So, yes, you did, you raised over 300,000 with Pitch-In in 2017, right?
Yeah.
So what was that whole experience like and what were the funds used for?
Okay. So, yeah, it was a very interesting experience. The team was very helpful, very supportive. Sam and at that time, yeah, Henry was still with them. So, yeah, they sort of guided me through the whole process. But in the end, obviously, I had to go out and sort of still pitch to investors, right? Yeah, so I'm still really grateful to the people who came in then, who invested in me, in the company. And what it was used for, well, I mean, we did use it for more R&D, actually. We wanted to develop the kits further. Mm-hmm. And, of course, to hire people and, you know, try and get our curriculum done in a better way. I mean, in a more structured way. But, yeah, since then, I think, so as I mentioned, the kits have been doing better, but I think we still have to work on getting building up the confidence with the public schools, because that is actually where our market is. So right. So we have had some traction now. So hopefully from there, it will grow. As for the curriculum and all that, we have developed it. It's just that I, along the way, just felt that we couldn't do the normal franchising model, because I just don't think it would work so well. Because of the nature of things that we do, it's super, you require a lot of innovation. Actually, we're constantly coming up with new things. And I think that if to find the right educator is also very important. So I just didn't think that we wanted to potentially run the risk of, you know, having franchisees come and complain and say that, you know, they're not performing. I think in education it's just really hard. But so anyway, we're still open. It's just that we are more towards like JVs or something like that, but not, you know, outright franchising.
So I see your idea was to go into franchising.
Initially, we thought we could, but I along the way and speaking to people as well, I just think that it's not. I think we have this responsibility if you are a franchisor, you have a responsibility to franchisee, right? Because you need to make sure that they make they are able to sustain a business. They can make money. So. Yeah, I just think that it's a very niche thing that we do. And that's why I think we need to be quite involved. So we would like to partner with people who are really interested, who are passionate. But then I think just letting them run off and, you know, run the thing, whole thing themselves might be a bit tricky.
Are you looking at more investors? Are you looking at, you know, and if so, for what?
I can't, well, I wouldn't say that much about it. We're not looking for investors per se. I have some other plans, which it's more towards like M&A kind of stuff.
Right. Okay. So towards that area. And I guess what have you learned about yourself as an entrepreneur in the last, you know, 7 years?
I think I've learned that I have a lot more patience than I thought I would have. And, you know, that I actually can just persevere much longer than I thought that I could, just because you have no choice. But, yeah, I mean, I think as long as keep being interested in what you're doing. I find this still really, you know, it's really interesting. I think it's, you know, still making a difference somewhat. So that kind of motivates me. But yeah, it's really hard, right?
Yeah.
During this pandemic, it's just like so much suffering.
Right. For all of us, right?
Yeah.
And I guess what's the next 5 years, pandemic over and everything, what do you hope to achieve with Science Cambridge Academy?
Yes. Okay. So looking forward, we're looking to work with more enrichment centers, perhaps those who are interested in adding on STEM programs. We've got a very nice STEM program, I think, that can be easily integrated, you know, and offered to the student base, particularly because I think online has the acceptance towards online has sort of increased. So it's a lot easier now. It doesn't matter where you are. You can still do this. And to JV or to partner with anybody else who is interested to, again, you know, tack on a STEM offering to their centers. And also I think that, you know, the industry will see a lot of some consolidation because, you know, it's extremely fragmented, as it were. And I believe that, we will, you know, see the stronger brands emerge, and we hope to be one of them. So let's see how it pans out.
Right. Okay. So that's we'll have to watch this space then.
Yeah. Well, first we need to get through this, and then we will. Yes, it's easy. You know.
Right. Okay. Well, good to chat again. I've been speaking to Dr. Chuang Huiyan from Science Bridge Academy. You've been listening to Open for Business. You've been listening to Enterprise PFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.